السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering today with his acceptance and to make us among those who continuously witness his tawheed and who strive to be the best in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us, to the best of our potential, and to lead our lives in a way that fulfills the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and that He be pleased with us. We make sincere dua for His acceptance and for His pleasure, especially in these blessed days, today being the 11th of Dhul Hijjah. So first of all, I want to congratulate all of you with Eid Mubarak, those that we haven't seen and those that we have seen, that these are the days to glorify and do takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just these days but every day, but particularly these days. So keeping that in mind, we send peace and blessings on our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse our hearts so that we can receive the tajalli of His nur into the innermost recesses of our hearts, that He illuminate us with the right guidance, and that He give us tawfiq to act on what He has commanded us to do and to abstain from what He has forbidden us, to lead our lives in compliance and in the ittiba' of the best of His creation, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So our session today is dealing with the 95th surah, which is Surah At-Teen, or translated as the fig. So this surah is from the early Meccan period, and again we have to look at the context of the Quran always as to the time of revelation, the circumstances, particularly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was encountering in a hostile environment of Mecca, what he was facing of rejection, what his companions radiallahu anhum were facing of persecution and ridicule, and in the call and invitation that was being extended to those who had not accepted the faith. And as we have mentioned before, that many of these Meccan surahs start with a qasam, the oath, sometimes a single oath, sometimes multiple oaths. And as we remind ourselves that the purpose of the oath, one, is to honor that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by, which is the object of the oath, the qasam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone has the right to swear by His creation, whereas we can only swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself alone. And secondly, most importantly, the purpose of the qasam is to signify the importance of the subject of the qasam, or jawabul qasam, to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to bring our attention. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-haq, the truth, the most truthful of all truthful, does not need to take an oath to confirm anything. But this is what He has done to focus our attention on certain important aspects that he wants us to grasp very clearly. So whenever the aqsam occur, we always are on an alert as to the jawab al-qasam, what is the subject, because that's the main message. So the surah starts, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. So we will translate it in the simplest form first, and then we will deal with it with a background and ayah by ayah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with the oath. He says, he swears by the fig, the teen, and the zaytun, the olive, and by the Mount Tur Sinin, the Mount Sinai, and by this city, the city that's entrusted and which is secure and safe. So these are the three aqsam, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the jawab al-qasam, he said, we indeed have created man in the finest form. Then we brought him down to the lowest of the low, except for those who believe and do good deeds. And for them, there shall be an unending, unfailing recompense or reward. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who then can, after this, cause you to deny the last judgment or to deny the deen? Or what can cause you to deny the day of judgment and or this deen? Is not Allah the most just of judges? Or, in another translation, the wisest of the wise. So this is the brief translation, literally. So let's go back. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath in three ayats. In the first ayah, there are two oaths. Wattini wa zaytun. Literally, the fig and the olive. And if you take it literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring two foods, or two fruits. Or one flower, one fruit, if you consider fig as a flower, as some people consider it. So the oath is on the fig and the olive. I will come back to this. Literally, that's what the oath is, on two fruits. And the next oath is Wature Sinin, the Mount of Sinin, which is also Sinai. Because elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in the Quran Tur Sinai, Sinai. Because both are used in Hebrew for the same mountain, Sinai and Sinin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has sworn by a place, a special mount, which is the mountain on which Musa alayhi salam had an encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly without any intermediary. On the mountain where he saw the light returning from Madian, and he went to get guidance, and he was given prophethood. The mount on which there was this burning, evanescent bush. or a tree. So it was, even before, a sacred place, because elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Musa alayhi salam gets there, he says, take off your shoes because you are standing on sacred ground. So this is a sacred place on which revelation was given to one of the great prophets, the Ulul Azm, Musa alayhi salam. And the fourth oath, which is in the third ayah, وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by this, and this was revealed in Mecca, by this sacred city. Mecca has always been sacred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls it Baladil Amin. And it can be interpreted in two ways. From Aman means where there is safety, where there is security. Because even for the Meccans who were being addressed, the Quraysh, who used to fight with the least excuse and shed blood, the precincts of Mecca were sacred. There was safety. So it has always been sacred. And in Islam, it is sacred. We can't even cut down trees and things like that within the precincts or kill anything of Mecca. So it's always been a secure city of safety. If you take the other interpretation of Amin, from Aman, from safety, and from Amin, the one that is trusted, because this city was given to us as a trust, the Kaaba was given to us as a trust, so the entrusted city, if you want to translate it that way. So what is the significance of these oaths? And of course, as we know, Hadha al-Baladil Amin, Mecca, is also connected to two great prophets, the one who established it, the messenger, our father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, who built the Kaaba, and the final messenger, the best of all creation, the leader of all the Anbiya and Mursaleen, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Baladil Amin is related to the final revelation and two of the Ulul Azm, the two great prophets of great significance, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and finally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So where does this Wattin and Wazzaytun fit? Well, there are many different interpretations. Many of the scholars, including going back to the Sahaba, they said that this is not literal. What is meant by it is another location, not the fruits, because the other two are locations. And some have said that teen, the fig, relates to the valley or next to Mount Judi, where the ark of Noah alayhi salam came to rest. And some have also said that when Nuh alayhi salam, after the flood, released the bird, the pigeon, or the dove to go and find if there is dry land, it came back with a fig branch or an olive branch. So they say that this relates to the mount and the valley, the area of the earth where the ark of Nuh alayhi salam came to rest. If that is the correct interpretation, then that would fit with the other two, that this is another great place, sacred place, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent one of his Ulul Azm, Nuh alayhi salam. Now, as far as the Zaytun, as we know, in Jerusalem, there is the Mount of the Olives. So many of the interpreters have said that this refers to Jerusalem, Baytul Maqdas, that both the teen and the zaytun are grown in that area in abundance, and they're the best quality in there. Therefore, this refers to Jerusalem, the oath of another sacred area where more prophets and more messengers came than anywhere else on the earth. So you can take all of those together, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we take the first ayah to refer to another place, it would mean either just Jerusalem, Baytul Maqdas, with the Mount of Olives, or all of Sham, because that's that area, Damascus, or it could mean that area and the valley and the mount where Nuh alayhi salam's ark landed. So Jerusalem, as we know, represented the Isa alayhi salam's messengership, because that's where he came. So if we take that, then these oaths deal with places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the best of his creation with his messages. We have Nuh alayhi salam, we have Ibrahim alayhi salam, we have Musa alayhi salam, we have Isa alayhi salam, and finally we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. So the five ulul azm are covered by this. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam came to the Balad al-Amin, Musa alayhi salam came to Tur Sinin, and Isa alayhi salam came to Zaytun, that area of Jerusalem, and if we include Nuh alayhi salam, to Wattin. Now, some have also interpreted that this Wattin refers to Adam alayhi salam, because they say that after they had eaten from the tree, they tried to cover themselves with the large leaves of the fig tree, the teen. So this is another interpretation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath in general on sacred places that have special encounter of the best of Allah's creation, his messengers, and in that the top echelon, the five, and who were given revelations for the guidance of mankind, to take mankind to its peak. So in general, when we look at these oaths, they are always relevant to the subject of the oath, what is coming, the Jawab al-Qasam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is referring to the best of places, the best of people created, and the best of guidance. So now we come to the next ayah, which is the subject of this oath, Jawab al-Qasam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The lamb before qad is for ta'keed, to stress indeed, surely. Qad, it has happened, it is a certainty. Indeed, with certainty, خَلَقْنَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this na, this first person plural, is the plural of majesty, of Allah's greatness and his absolute control and power over it. Khalaqna, we created insan, as everyone knows what insan is, fi ahsani taqweem. Ahsan means in the best. From hasan, superlative of that, ahsan, the best, there's nothing better. Taqweem, we created in the finest form. The word taqweem also comes from the qama, which means to be upright. You know, like we say, qad qamat is salah, stand upright, you know, qiyam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that something that is perfect and upright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have created insan in the best and most perfect form. Now, what does the best and most perfect form mean? In every way. Physically, intellectually, psychologically, spiritually, the most important. And if we look at the word taqweem, we are the only creation that walks upright. So you take that qama, but we are the only creation which has spirituality. We are the only creation that has significant intellect. I mean, animals know some things, they have some intelligence, but none of them have intelligence to the level of insan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that of all of his creation, the best that he has created is insan. This is a declaration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as we know, insan has two components, the body and the spirit. And the body is earthly, created from clay, and then from the sperm and the ovum, from fluid, mixed fluid. And we have what Allah sends down through the angels, which is the ruh, the spirit, which makes us who we are. And if we remember, as a reminder, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our father Adam alayhi salam from the clay, he lay there for a long time. It was only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed, he said, when I nafakhtu fi, when I breathed into him ruh, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to do the sajda of honoring him. That means the honoring of insan came with the infusion of the ruh, not just the body. So what gives us the ultimate honor and which gives us this ahsan taqweem is the spiritual aspect more than the physical aspect. And as we know, even physically, we are the most beautiful creation, but we are not the strongest. We are not the fastest. The animals have more strength. They have more speed. They have more skill, many other things. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called us the best. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, we have honored insan. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have created مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَخَلَقْنَا لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ, we have created for you everything that's in the heavens, and for you, to be of service to you, that everything else was created to serve us. And the most important part of serving us is to remind us of who provided all of this for us, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no matter where we look in creation, everything that we see physically, everything that happens to us, every event that occurs is seen through a lens that sees the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that recognizes the kamal, the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his might, his beauty, his majesty, his creative ability, his qudra, his control of everything. That everything reminds us in the heavens and the earth, within us and outside. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will continue to show you our signs in the heavens and the earth and within you, till it becomes clear to you. What becomes clear? The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to always look with that lens of tawheed at everything that we see around. Nothing is a coincidence. Nothing has power of its own. Nothing has ability of its own. Nothing can control anything, even though it appears. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here himself is attesting with certainty. How? First by taking an oath to stress this point, and then saying لا قد, means that it have no doubt that the best of creation is insan. So this insan has the potential to be higher than the angels if he fulfills his purpose for which he was created. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for what? As he tells us, for his ubudiyah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we've gone over many times, he said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ, that the main purpose, or the only purpose, and he says it by saying, we have not created you for anything else other than the ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only one worthy of worship. When we fulfill that purpose to its fullest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates us to the point where we reach levels above the noble creation which does not sin, which is the angels. That's why, if you remember, in that famous journey of the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a point came at Sidratul Muntaha with the greatest of the angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "You proceed beyond this, because this is my limit. Beyond this, I cannot go." Showing us that the status of the human being, in this case, the best of human being versus the best of the angels, the best of human being status is greater. And similarly, on a common level, an insan that fulfills the purpose for which he is created, Allah ennobles him greater than the angels. But insan, as we say, the insan, the word comes from nasiya, which means to forget. And when insan forgets, he can forget everything. He can forget his Lord. He can forget the purpose of his creation. He can forget the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when that happens, that insan from that elevated status and rank, he starts to fall. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, elsewhere in the Quran, he says, don't forget, otherwise Allah will make you forget yourself, make you forget who you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. And don't forget Allah, that's the ultimate forgetfulness, heedlessness. Because then Allah will make you forget yourself, your humanity, your elevated status, your purpose, where you are going, what is ahead of you. He will make you forget all of that. He will make you forget you are the elevated insan, and you will drop to the level of animals and worse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in the next ayah. He said, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. ثُمَّ means after having given him this best of form and the best potential, the best of his creation, a time passes, means he's given that time to fulfill that purpose. رَدَدْنَاهُمْ. رَدْ means to reject. رَدَدْنَاهُمْ, we rejected him and brought him down. So when something is rejected, means it's considered inferior. It's considered something that is not worthy. So it is to be thrown away, to be thrown down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that insan who was given this elevated status is then thrown down. He's brought down. And who brings him down? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we bring him down. Rather than now. Rather than now, asfala safaleen. To what level? Asfala safaleen. Safala, asfala means is the superlative, like ahsan, the best. Asfala means lowest of the low. Sufla means low. Asfala safaleen. Those who are brought down, the lowest of the low. Then some people have said that this refers to the kafir and the munafiq in the jahannam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are in the dark, you know, the lowest of the level of Jahannam, the munafiq. Asfala safaleen is also in this dunya, that from that elevated status for which he was created, the potential was given, by his own actions, Allah makes him fall to the level of where his spirituality disappears, his spiritual maturity, and he then becomes like an animal whose purpose is only few things. Eat, drink, sleep, reproduce. Animal existence. He lives like cattle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I believe in Surah A'raf, that they are like kal an'am, they are like cattle. No, nay, they are lower than cattle. They become worse than cattle, like predators. They harm others. They become like shayateen. That insan When he goes up, is higher than the angels. When he goes down, he's worse than animals and beasts, and he's like the shayateen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if we don't pay attention, that is what will happen when we forget who Allah is, we forget ourselves, we forget our noble status, we forget our to take care of our spiritual need. Our main focus is only on the here and now, which is the body, the body's needs, the passions, the lower nafsani desires. Then there is no difference between us and animals. No difference. And we see that in society all the time. People living like animals. And worse, predatory animals who harm others to get ahead themselves. And we have plenty of examples from the highest levels of governing people to the lowest. Criminals, evil. Asfala safili. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us how to combat that, how not to become from the asfala safili, how to maintain that ahsani taqweem, the best of creation, that status that Allah granted us. He says, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Two conditions. Except those who do not fall to this level, those who have iman and who do amal salih, good deeds, virtuous deeds, righteous deeds. So what is iman here? It is not just any faith, it is specified. The imaniyat, the arkan of iman that we have. The most important one of which is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot take today's position, you know, everyone is good, everyone is right, you know, if it's a good person, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the faith has to be right and the actions have to be right. If you say my faith is right and the actions are not right, then there is a discrepancy, something is wrong. If you see somebody doing good deeds, but they don't believe, that also doesn't fulfill that criteria. So you say, oh, you know, we talk about, you know, humanity, universal values. Yes, universal values. But universal values will be rewarded in the dunya without the right faith. There can be atheists who are doing all kinds of good deeds. But that is not the asfala safili. That's not the one who is ahsani taqwi, has fallen. And they will not be rewarded in the hereafter. So both the criteria have to be met. And what is iman? The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the arkan of iman, the belief in the akhirah, the belief in the risala, the belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran, the day of judgment, the life after death, the jannah and the nar, and the qadr, qada and qadr, the destiny. That has to be believed in, it has to be attested to by the tongue, and it has to be internalized in our hearts with certainty, with yaqeen, without any shak, without any shubh, no doubts, no questions. And it has to be manifested by our actions. If somebody says, I believe, and doesn't act accordingly, that's a false claim. And there are many who claim falsely. Many people say, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but will not obey. The first commandments, will not pray, salah. Well, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't pray, that itself is a lie. If you say you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are a believer and you directly and persistently continue to disobey, do things that Allah has forbidden, then that's an empty claim. So iman has to be in the qalb. Only Allah knows the truth and the sincerity of it and the yaqeen degree. But we hear it by the attestation of the tongue when we say the shahada, and we witness it by the actions of people. So that is one. That is an absolute requirement, the internal requirement. And the external requirement to become other than the asfala safilin and go back to ahsani taqweem, raised to that standard, is to show by our actions. So that's externally how we act. how we look, what we look at, what we don't look at, what we hear, what we subject ourselves to, what environment, what we speak, how we speak, the choice of our words, the tone of our words, what we do with our hands, what we do with our feet, what we do with our transactions with each other, dealings with each other, the adab, the akhlaq, that is all part of amal as-salihat. Simple way of defining amal salih, that which Allah has commanded, that done in the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is amal salih. If it is done to show others, that becomes riya. That becomes a form of shirk. If it is done in a way other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed it, that's not accepted. He showed you how to pray. He said, pray like you have seen me pray. Said, no, I love Allah. I know better. I'm going to do my own. That's not amal salih. So we have to be careful of what is amal salih. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from that noble status in which Allah created us, man falls to the lowest of the low, except those who have iman and do amal salih. They do that. And those who do that, فَلَهُمْ, therefore then, as a consequence for them, أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Ajr is a recompense, a reward, something that's given, wages, something that's given in lieu, what you've done, in exchange. Ajr, reward. غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, one that does not end, that is not cut off, مَمْنُونَ, that is continuous, without ending. Now it's interesting, if you look at it, when you do amal salih, it comes to an end. The action itself comes to an end. No action can you do continuously forever. Even if you are in salah 24 hours a day till you die, it comes to an end. But the reward for even one salah is never ending. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity. غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, continuous, never ending. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said here that this is only in the akhirah, because sometimes we feel, oh, this must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to the akhirah. Of course it's in the akhirah, because only there is eternity. But those rewards for iman and amal salih will be witnessed in this life. People will see the reward of that in their life, in the peace in their lives, in the sakina, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward of making them even better Muslims, more compliant, with more istiqama, with more ikhlas, makes them more generous, better worship. That's the reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing them, and removes anxieties and worries and all of those in this life. And then there is the reward at the time of death. You're not seeing horrific scenes, and you're not seeing Malikul Maut in his true form coming to extract, and the soul being extracted like a silk cloth being pulled across, you know, a thorn bush, but like a hair pulled out from liquid butter or from honey, with the angels ready to receive. So at the time of death, the angels will come to console and say, just yield over your soul, because we were your companions, and now see what is coming ahead of you, what Allah has prepared. So this ajr ghairu mamnoon is at the time of death. Then there is ajr in the grave, because the grave, as we know, is either a pit from the pits of hell, or it's a garden from the garden of Jannah. It's a preview. So the reward is in the barzakh, in the grave. Then, on the day of judgment, the two are treated differently. So that ajr continues. You are given shade, you are given water. On a day where there is no shade, where there is no water, where the fire is not brought near you, you are in the elite, you know, sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Ashabul Yameen. So there the reward shows, and ultimately the reward shows in the Akhirah, in the Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who lead their lives with Iman, as we defined, with observing properly those arkan of Iman, and Amal Salih, as we defined, for them, they will be elevated to where they should be. Ahsani taqweem. They will be prevented from being asfal asafilin, the lowest of the low. And for them, there is a continuous reward that is eternal, never ends, because there is no limit to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that if all of mankind and all of jinnkind, from the first to the last, were to gather together in a plain and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that they ever desired, list everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to grant them everything that each one wanted that was ever created, it would not diminish his treasures as much as a needle, not even as equal to, as much as a needle dipped into the ocean, what it extracts of water from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures, his rewards are eternal. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us is ahead. But we have to lead our lives according to what Allah created us for, as the best of his creation. And not to forget that, otherwise we fall, as he said, we will make you forget who you are. And you will then become lead lives of cattle and beasts. And the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. So let's take the word deen. This deen has two meanings. One, deen means the judgment, because we have مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. The word deen is used there as the day of master, of the day of judgment. So if we take that meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَمَا, then what? يُكَذِّبُكَ is making you deny the day of judgment. Means all of these evidences have been put forward, then what is it? You know, it's a rhetorical question. Means it's so obvious, how can you still deny that? The other translation or interpretation of the word deen is deen. The deen that is mentioned in the beginning by reference, by Watine wa Zaytun, by the Musa alayhi salam's deen, Isa alayhi salam's deen, Ibrahim alayhi salam's deen, Nuh alayhi salam's deen, and the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, it's one deen, just continuous. That truth which was sent, on which the oaths were taken in the beginning, that deen, what would make them deny this? What then would make them deny this? And if you yukadhibuka, if you use that, deny you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you take it in reference to the Meccans, that after all of this evidence, what is it that makes them deny you, your messengership, your message, the revelation that's been given to you, the Quran? Means it's so strange that with all of this evidence, what can make them deny this? The truth of the deen and the truth of the day of judgment. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question in the negative. Is not Allah? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Now, hakim also has two meanings. One is to do with judgment. So is not Allah ahkamul hakimi, the best of all judges? If you take the first, the deen, as referring to the day of judgment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking that there is that day of judgment. Is not Allah the best of judges? In other words, this is also a warning that nothing will be hidden. No evidence will be hidden. We will be called to witness against ourselves. And the judgment is going to be perfect, because in this dunya, we witness all the time injustice being done and it's not addressed. Criminals get away. Murderers get away. Mass murderers get away. Tyrants get away and seem to have apparently successful lives and rule for decades and kill, do genocide. Yes, there is a day of judgment. And Allah is Ahkamul Hakimin. Everything will be addressed that day. Nothing will be left unturned. And no rights would have been violated without being compensated on that day. And the compensation on that day is not going to be in dollars and cents. So this is one way of looking at it. The other, if you take the meaning of deen as the religion, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His wisdom, sent us the religion, the guide, as we mentioned again, by mentioning those prophets, the Ulul Azm in the beginning, indirectly by the places, sacred places. If we say that, then what makes them deny this deen? A deen which is not Allah the wisest of the wise. One is the most judge of most just of judges, and the wisest from hikmah of the wise. In His infinite wisdom, He created us as the best. He lowered us, rejected us to the lowest for those who did not fulfill the purpose. And He guided us to take that path, as you know, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, we guided you to those two paths. فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْأَقَبَ, He did not elevate, climb that, because He is going أَسْفَلَ سَفْ, going down low. So is not Allah the wisest of the wise? And is not Allah the most just of judges? So when a question like this is asked, the obvious answer is, of course, Allah is the most just of all judges. He is the wisest of the wise. So when this format, alaysa, is always replied to, when you confirm, yes, Ya Allah, you are the wisest and you are the most just, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that when you come to this ayah, you say bala. Bala is the way of saying, yes, we confirm. And indeed I, ana ala dhalika min ash-shahidin, and I am a witness to this. The Prophet ﷺ said that when you read this ayah, then respond by saying this, bala, indeed you are. Yes, you are the wisest, and I am among those who bear witness to this. So, in summary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us our status. First, He has brought our focus to this truth of who we are by taking oaths on sacred places, indirectly relating to the sacred, the most noble of Allah's creation, man, and among the men, the Ulul Azm, the best of messengers. As we said, reference to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and by one interpretation, Nuh alayhi salam. The best of Allah's creation, man, the best of His creation, the Rusul, and among the Rusul, the Ulul Azm, the five, Allah tells us, gives us that standard, that this is the standard. This is who you are. This is how I created you. I gave you that potential. Now, if you ignore that, you forget that, you will fall, and you will fall, and you will fall to a level worse than animals. And you have no one to blame except yourself. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَدَدْنَا, that we actively, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, they will fall by themselves, you know what's called مَبْنِي مَجْهُول means passively. No, this is actively. Because Allah has made the law, even He tells us that if you forget, we will make you forget. So this is a consequence of our actions. Okay? That Allah is in control. The falling is not because Allah created us defective. He created us ahsan taqweem. The falling is because we subjected ourselves, we lowered ourselves to lower than who we are. We are the best, but we want to be low. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the consequences and tells us that this we counter this with Iman and Amal Saleh. And this, inshallah, will be discussed in greater detail in Surah Al-Asr, that we will deal next in more detail about this Iman and Amal Saleh. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the continuous ajr, and the ajr goes the other way also, that if we fall asfala safaleen, the consequence of that is also eternal, continuous. And Allah does not wrong anyone. We will get what we deserve. We choose our destiny in this way. Of course, in our choice, in our actions, we know that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us, who guides us. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us tawfiq and ability. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us thabat, steadfastness in doing things. It's not just one day, you know, now it's Eid al-Adha, I'm good. It is day of Arafah, I'm good. And then it's after 3 days, everything is business as usual. No, every day should be like that. You know, we had the 10 greatest days that Allah has created in the year. And we all, you know, compete and strive to do good. Wouldn't you like to be like a person when these 10 days come and nothing changes in your life in the right way? Which means that you were already doing all of what you want to do on those days, every day of your life. SubhanAllah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who recognize the truth as the truth, and Allah is the most truthful, and the most truthful of words are His words, and the most truthful of messengers and is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of His creation, that we take that and we internalize that and we act upon that, and we always humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no matter what I do, it is not good enough, it is not sufficient, and I depend on your forgiveness and your generosity, your benevolence, your reward, and I need your help. I'm a faqir. I'm always in need of your help to continue in my path to you. And we do this sincerely, and we do this with helping each other and supporting each other, and inshallah, if we live our lives on this, then we will die in that state of Islam, and we will be raised with the true Muslims on the Day of Judgment. And we will be presented as the upright Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, behind him and in front of him. And he will feed us, he will give us water from Kawthar, from his hawd, with his own noble hands. So those who aspire for that have to lead their lives to be able to encounter him there, to be able to be eligible for his intercession. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those, to give us an iman that never decreases, an iman that is full of certainty and yaqeen, an amal salih that are done to the best of our ability with ikhlas and in full ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and amal salih that are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He keep us away from everything that lowers our standard, that takes us lower than what He created us to be. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this for the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for our families, for our parents, our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our spouses, our children, our companions, our friends, our neighbors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us, especially in these glorious days, holy days of the Hijjah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us with His acceptance and help us to understand His words and internalize them to the best of our abilities. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.